Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. And here it is once more and again that God has allowed us to come together for Inspirational Wednesday. I am your host, Diane Adams. And as always, it's a privilege and an honor to come before you as we explore the Word of God together. Because remember, this is not my Bible study, but this is our Bible study. And God has found fit and put all of us together. And we meet on Wednesday night to fellowship and explore the Word of God together. As always, it's a privilege and an honor. And I first have to give all honor and glory unto God, the author and the finisher of my faith, to his darling son Jesus, and the precious, precious Holy Ghost, our comforter and our guide. And I have to thank each and every one of you who taken time from your busy schedule to meet at this hour for the Word of God. I pray that everyone had a great week. And for those whose week wasn't as good, you know, that last week didn't have anything. Last week don't have anything to do with the newness of the new day. They say weeping may endure for a night, but joy always come in the morning. And every day that God allow you to open up your eyes, it's another opportunity for you to give him praise and to get it right and to receive the joy. Our lesson tonight, the title of it is, To Whom Much Is Given, Much Is Required. And it's going to come from the book of Luke. We're going to be in the 12th chapter. We're going to start with verse 42. And we're going to go all the way to verse 47. Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 42 through 44. And the title of the lesson tonight is To Whom Much Is Given, Much Is Required. And as always, it's praying time right now. And I always open up the airway for someone who may want to lead us in prayer. Someone who may want to, you know, give us a word of encouragement, or someone who have a testimony or just need, you know, prayer. So at this time, if someone would like to do either one of those things, you could press the one button on your phone and I will open the mic for you. If not, we're going to go to the throne of grace and thank God for what he's allowing us to do. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, I enter your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. Heavenly Father, I am so glad and honored that you allowed us to come together one more time. Heavenly Father, I pray that I decrease while you increase. Heavenly Father, I realize that I'm only a vessel giving information because it's the Holy Ghost that has to give the illumination and revelation. Heavenly Father, I pray that your word don't return void. Lord, I don't know everyone that's listening, and I don't know the desires of their heart and what they're coming to receive. But Heavenly Father, I pray that you grant them the desires of their heart. Heavenly Father, give them something that they're in need of and guide them and protect them. Heavenly Father, I ask that you have a blessing and find favor upon all of the callers, all of the households that is represented here tonight, dear God. Because you say the firm, effectual prayer of the righteousness availeth much, and I believe you. And Lord, I'm going to just give you praise, honor, and glory because you're worthy. There's no other name besides the name of Jesus They say, by the name of Jesus, every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow. And, Lord, I'm just grateful and thankful for this opportunity. And I don't take it lightly, dear God, and I'm asking that you have your way. All of these blessings and others, we ask in Jesus' name for all of our sakes. Amen, and thank God. Well, from the studio, I could tell some other callers have called in, so I'm going to repeat the lesson. The title of the lesson for tonight is To Whom Much Is Given, Much Is Required. And it's coming from the book of Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 42 through 48. And here we go with the lesson tonight. You know, I always like to give you a little background about the book, the writer, the place, or something that you can relate to, and hopefully it would open up your knowledge in the Bible when you read certain books, if you know something about the author, or why he wrote it, and who he was writing it to. So the background for the night is going to come, is going to be about Luke, the writer of this book we are studying tonight. You see, the men who were called to be a part of the inner circle that surrounded Jesus was a very diverse group of men that hailed from every type of social background and occupation. You know, it's amazing how God operated when Jesus decided to pick his men. He took people from all kind of backgrounds, and he took people from all kind of social stability, and he took people from all kind of occupations. So when he got his group together, he knew he would be able to touch everyone. You see, and that's amazing, and that's just how amazing God is. You see, these 12 men, other than the traitor Judas, they formed the foundation of what is today known as the church. But you see, an important one of them, who is not listed with the 12 as an apostle, but had a tremendous effect upon the documentation and the spreading of the gospel, was a physician named Luke. You see, he was evidently devoted to science and research before he came to know the Savior. And there is evidence that Luke never even met Jesus personally when Jesus walked the earth. You know, just like Paul never had the privilege of meeting him when he walked the earth in the flesh. You see, Luke's intellect shone through his writing and his deep knowledge of things pertaining to the physical makeup of man is evidenced in his gospel. You know, I tell you, you know, all the time, there were four gospels, and God, as this just said, used different men with different backgrounds. And, you know, God strategically chose Luke to write one of the gospels by Luke being a physician and knowing the makeup of man. In his writing, he would be more believable that Jesus is God in the flesh. And yet Jesus is a total man, but he's totally God. God chose Luke for that assignment. What a mighty God we serve. You see, Luke was a companion of Paul, who called him a beloved physician. You see, this indicated that Luke was not of circumcision. And when I say not of circumcision, I'm talking about not being a Jew. It was custom, and it was one of the laws that all Jews had to be circumcised. So when they speak like this in the Bible, that he wasn't of circumcision, you could automatically know that they're saying that he was not a Jew. If he wasn't a Jew, then we know now that he's a Gentile, because a Gentile is anything other than a Jew, and we are Gentiles. And this is amazing, because the Israelites and the Jews was God's chosen people, and it was the writers in the Bible and so forth, but this means that Luke was the only writer in the New Testament who is not an Israelite or a Jew. Not only did Luke write the gospel that bears his name, but he also had the privilege of writing one of the largest books in the Bible. And he was inspired by God, and he wrote also the book of Acts. You see, Luke writing focused on the preaching of the good news, which indicate his joy over the plan of salvation. You know, back then, you know, Jews had the passage in a right of way, and they was the chosen ones. Gentiles was considered and treated as stepsisters and brothers, and they wasn't allowed to understand the gospel, and they was allowed to go in the temples, and it didn't appear that salvation was for them. But you see, Luke, when he heard the news and believed it, he was able to explain the plan of salvation in his writing. He used the term good news 10 times in his gospel and 15 times in the book of Acts. While it is used only once in the other gospels, now isn't that amazing? Luke, who was a Gentile and not a Israelite, you know, a Jewish person, he used what we call the gospel of Jesus Christ, which means good news, more times than anyone else. You see, Luke was given the privilege of explaining the process of salvation and how God controls the mind and the heart in both of his gospel writings. Luke, writing focus on the preaching of the good news, which indicated his joy over the plan of salvation. You see, from the life of Luke, it is clear that no matter what course we set for ourselves in life, when God has other plans, he can and will change our direction. You see, Luke is an example of an open-minded man. And this was so unusual for the educated Gentiles in that day. But he is a lesson for all who are so focused on their own personal agenda and position that they are firmly glued in the comfort, in their own comfort zone. What are we saying here? Luke was a physician. He was well respected. He wasn't a Jew. He was a Gentile, and he didn't want to hear about things that the Jews was teaching that had not allowed them to be in. But Luke had an open mind. Luke probably had, you know, all kind of status, but he realized that nothing is more important than pursuing the truth, and he understood that Jesus was the way. And he was willing to pursue it no matter what the consequences were. You see, Luke recognized that Jesus is truth. And once he did that, his life was forever changed. And that's what should and have happened to us in our Christian walk. Once you receive the truth, your life should be ever changed. Now we're going to start in Luke, the 42nd verse, and I'm going to read the verse, and we're going to go into the lesson. And the 42nd verse said, "And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season?" And then in 43 goes on to say, "Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he come, shall find so doing." And 44 says, "Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make you ruler over all that he has." You see, when we look at this, there are certain things you should know. This is a parable that Jesus said after he had given another parable. and he was asked the question by Peter about who was this parable, what was this parable about, and who was it for. So when you look at this writing, and the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise steward? We are the stewards, and the Lord is emphasis for Jesus Christ. And we should look at that as we go into the lesson. You see, in context, Jesus had just told a parable about being ready for his return. His disciple Peter asked if the parable was just for them or was it for everyone. And that's where these parables and lessons begin. And that's what happened. And then they started. You see, the disciples, Peter, I'm sorry, y'all, someone was that kept ringing the doorbell. So let me regroup. In context, Jesus had told a parable. And when he told a parable about him coming back and being returned, the disciples asked him, was that parable just for them or was it for everybody? And then Jesus made this other parable, which our lesson is tonight. His disciple Peter asked if the parable was just for them or for everyone. Jesus replied with another parable saying, which he defines the faithful and wise manager as one who takes care of all things necessary at a proper time. When the master returns and finds the faithful servant managing his resources well, he put him in charge of all his possession. Let me break this down because it's getting a little funny with the distractions. But this is the thing. Jesus is saying he's going to die. And he did in Calvary. But these 3 days he rose. And he told us when he left that he was coming back. And this parable is saying when Jesus come back, he's going to want to know what you have been doing while he was gone. And he used this parable and he called it a faithful servant who take care of everything that is necessary at the proper time. You know, that's someone who's doing what they're supposed to do, when they're supposed to do it, how they're supposed to do it, and why they do it. And they say that's how the Lord is going to want to find a servant when he come back, talking about Jesus Christ and us. You see, when the master returned and the feel of the faithful servant manages his resources well, the master will then put him in charge of all his possession. This is what he's saying. If you handle what I have given you and you do well what I'm giving you, then I can give you more. You see, if you want more, you should do more. You see, we have been entrusted with all things. We have been trusted with certain things, and faithfulness is required of how we manage those things wisely and if we handle them unselfish. You see, we are a steward, and a steward is one that manages something that belongs to someone else. Come on now. We say that the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and the world and everything that dwells therein. And we say that God is in control of all things and God owns all things. When we truly understand that, that's the only time we could begin to realize that we are servants and stewards. And again, I say a steward is one that manages something that belongs to someone else. You see, everything belongs to our Lord, and whatever we have has been given to us to be faithful stewards until Jesus returns. What we talking about here? We talking about your time, your talent, and your resources. Jesus is coming back, and you will have to give an account. You see, when people get confused about the different judgment seats, but there's a judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And at that judgment seat, that's the only judgment seat that Christians will have to go and set before the Lord, the judgment seat of Christ. at the judgment seat of Christ, Jesus will not be judging your sins. That will not be a time of deciding who will be saved and who won't be saved. Only Christians that have been saved go to the judgment seat of Christ, and at that time, Jesus will not be judging your sins, but he will be judging your deeds and your work. And as is stated in this parable, when the Lord leave and when he come back, he's going to have the reward in his hand, and he's going to want to know what you've been doing with what he has given you. You see, Jesus promised a reward for those who have been faithful to the master. While we sometimes experience immediate and temporary material rewards for our obedience to God, you know, this is not always the case. You know, because people come to me all the time and say, you know, I tithe every Sunday and I can't understand why I don't have no money. Or they might tell me, I go to church every Sunday. You know, why I'm not blessed more than Mary who don't go to church. You see, while, like what I just said before, while we sometimes experience immediate and material rewards for our obedience to God, this is not always the case. You see, if it was, we would be tempted to boast about our achievement and do good only for what we could get. Come on now. Just imagine every time you did something that you thought was good, God gave you something. You know, it would be almost like making God a trick. You know, God is not a trick. God does not move like that. You see, if so, you would be tempted to boast about your achievements and do good only for what you could get. Jesus said that if we look for a reward now, and he said, watch how you look for rewards now. Some people are really damaged because they think some rewards they should be getting, they're not getting. But all of the rewards are not for now. Remember, some are for later. You see, our heavenly rewards will be the most accurate reflection of what we have done on earth. You know how some people dying in inside of their casket, they say, may the works I've done speak for me? Or my living is not in vain? Or will God be able to say thy faithful servant, talking about that servant here we talking about tonight, will God be saying, be able to say thy faithful servant, well done? You see, it's important to, it's very important what we do with what God has given us, what he has put in our hands. And the lesson tonight is saying, who much is given, much is required. You know, we have sometime, we have a person in a family that everybody asks for and everybody expects of. But you know, the rule of thumbs is, to whom much is given, much is required. Sometime if you feel like you're being called upon too much, you ask too much, then that means you must have much. So you'd rather not be called on and have less, because the word said, to whom much is given, much is required. And there will be greater than we could imagine the rewards on the other side. You see, the master, which is talking about Jesus, is coming back with the reward in his hand. And you got to remember, what things will count? How good you look? I don't think so. How much education you have? Probably not. How much money you have? It's only temporal. You know. But he may ask, how did you treat your neighbor? And a lady told me a story last night, and it seemed appropriate for right now. They had a man, two neighbors. They lived side by side. And one of the neighbors every Sunday went to church. One of the neighbors always went to church, and every Sunday he would leave out of his house, and the man next door would be maybe cutting his grass or washing his car, and the neighbor who was a Christian and going to church every Sunday would walk out the house and pass the man up and get in his car and come back, come home. Sometime the man would still be out. He'd go in his house and do whatever he do. The man who was not the Christian, who was not going, who didn't go to church and who was taking care of his car and stuff, he got in a wreck and he died. Excuse. I'm so sorry. But the man who didn't go to church, he got in a wreck. And by not knowing God, he died. And he went to hell. And he wrote the Christian man a letter. He told him, you know, why you didn't tell me about Jesus? You know, why you didn't encourage me to find the Lord? And he wrote some other things in his letter. But at the end of the letter, he told him, see you in hell. You know, what will God be looking for what he has given us? Do we share the word of God with anybody? We walk by people all the time. Remember, at the judgment seat of Christ, we will not be judged for our sins, but we will be judged for our deeds. And every Wednesday we come together and we learn about God. What are we doing with what we're learning? Are we sharing it with someone else? Are we holding it for ourselves? Because we have to remember that only what we do for Christ will last. Hold on one minute. I don't really know what's happening with my voice, but it seems like I'm losing it. But I'm a if y'all could hear me and understand me, press a one button on your phone so I'll know. Hello? All right. So I'm going to keep going. Satan will not get the victory. Excuse. But, okay, if we go to the 45th verse, we see, but if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall bring to and will bring to beat the manservants and the maidservants and to eat and drink and to be drunken. What is it saying here? That you see a bad servant while Jesus, we're talking about the master, and this is a parable, and we know that a parable is a story using earthly things but having a heavenly meaning. We know that Jesus used parables to explain things to us that we could understand. You see, and they say it, if the servant say it in his heart, Jesus is taking long to come back, I could do what I want to do. So he beat the servant and the manservant, which means he mistreat the people. And he eat, drink, and be drunk. He be drunk, meaning he's not sober. He's out of control, so he can't manage the master's business. And 46 said, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he look not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder. That's what the scripture says. And that word sunder, that means, which means in two. And will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. What we saying here? The servant that's doing and running things his own way. You see, the master, you know, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. So that servant there handled it as if he did know. But in the meantime, he was doing what he wanted to do. You see, that servant is putting off until tomorrow what he should be doing today. How many of us is doing that? About doing some things in our life that we know should be out, and some things in our lives that we know should be in. But you see, we feel we have time. And because God don't come and just put his rap on us and just don't beat us and still love us, we think we have time. But one thing we know, no one knows the day, the time, or the hour that Jesus is coming back. You see, many of the unsaved believe that they have time. And many Christians know what should be done and figure they have time to do it. How can we possibly, how could we possibly think we can determine that we have time? We don't make time, we don't control time. And Jesus said, one thing is for sure, that no man knows the hour when he comes back. And you should ask yourself, what would you like Jesus to find you doing at that time? You see, Christ's return that we know that is, we don't know the time, and it's an unexpected time. And don't look at it like God is using that as a trap or a trick by which God hopes to catch us off guard. Come on now, y'all. In fact, God is, come on now, watch this. God is delaying his return so more people will have the opportunity to follow him. What a mighty and faithful God we serve. You see, God desires that everyone have a chance to be saved. He said he would not return to until everyone has had the opportunity to at least know about him. You know, it's not by accident that it's on the airwaves. It's on the TV. It's on the corners. It's here. It's there. And it's everywhere. And what God want to know is, are you playing your part? There may be someone that just might can't get it unless they get it from you. There may be someone who've heard it 50 times, but when you tell it to them the way that the Holy Ghost give it to you, they might really understand it. And you got to remember, everything that you need to share the word of God with someone, God has already equipped you. And the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you. And the Holy Ghost will call things to your memory. You just got to step out there. You got to just have a desire to want to do it. You have to understand that you're a servant and that Jesus Christ is your Lord. You know, God has given us everything that we'll ever need to fulfill his intended purpose for our lives. God has did his part, and he left everything we need and given us daily what we need for us to do our part. You know, these things is what you got to check yourself out. You know, you could look at your time and you could say, you know, like we always say, we're so busy, we don't have enough time. You know, and especially when sometimes it comes to the things of God. And sometimes we say, I know God gave me this talent, but I'm only using it for myself right now. And the resources that God has given to us. He has given that to us to sometime be able to help someone else. But we on the me syndrome right now. We don't have time, talents, resources, nothing else to share with no one else. You know, somebody who's set maybe in their home, not just set in their home, but say, you know, I don't fool with people. You know, I don't speak to my neighbors. All I do is wave. You know, people start saying these type of things as if it's a big thing. You know? But you don't never know who you're going to need. You don't know what situation or circumstances you could become in. You see, an unfaithful servant mismanage the master's resources to satisfy their own greed. And what Jesus wants, and he tells us all the time, because God is not going to not warn you, not give you instructions. You know, he gave us a Bible with 66 books, which is our daily instruction for daily living. God has given us this. He warns us. He teaches us. He allowed the Holy Ghost to live inside of us. Because he wants us to know that judgment is certain for all people. You see, Jesus is letting us know the time to do, to get it right, to be faithful, to obey and submit and share the word of God to somebody else. The time is now. And if we look at the 47th verse, they say, and that servant which know his Lord's will, come on now, and prepare not himself, neither did according to the will be beaten with many stripes. They say that servant which knows his father's will, that's the ones who learn about it and say they're Christians and walk with their head high, you know, you know the will of God. and prepared him and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will. What they saying? The ones that know the will of God, know the word of God, but don't do the word of God, will be beaten with many stripes. How you like that? You will be beaten with many stripes because you know better and you refuse to do it. And then it says, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. I'm going to read that again, starting at the 47. And that servant which knows his Lord's will and prepare not himself. Come on now. If you know the will of God and don't prepare yourself to do it, shall be beaten with many stripes. And 48 say, but he that know not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with a few stripes. And why God say that? It's right there in the word. It's right there. Because the next sentence said, for unto whomever much is given, of him shall be much required. Y'all got that? And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Do you sometimes feel like much is required of you? I want you to know that it's a blessing. You know, if people come for you all the time for information, or even sometimes come for you because, you know, they believe you got something you could share financially with them. And it might not even be the case, but they believe it because that's the way you present yourself. And if they're always calling on you to do something, it's probably because you have those different talents. So sometimes we feel overwhelmed by all of the things asked of us. But you have to remember to whom much is given, much is required. You see, there's a scripture in James 4 and verse 17 that says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. Those who know and don't do it will be held at a higher standard. You know, somewhere in the Bible they say God take care of babies and fools. Babies is not old enough to get a knowledge and fools just won't receive it. And maybe, you know, that fool, because he don't know, will get a few stripes. But it's better, there's a scripture that says it's better to not know and don't do than to know and don't do. It's better to not know than to know and don't do. You see, the idea to whom much is given, much will be required, is that we are held responsible for whatever we have. God is not asking you to be responsible with what you don't have. What you have and what you have, he has given you. So he know what you have because he know what he has given you. And if you realize that you are a steward because it belongs to him and begin to operate with what he has given to you, and if it's a lot and it's more, then more is required. if we are blessed with a talent, wealth, knowledge, time, and the like, it is expected that we use these things to glorify God. And guess what else? To benefit others. Jesus has told us how to live until he come back. We must watch for him, work diligently, obey his commandments. You see, with this attitude, it should be the attitude that all of us begin to take on. You know, have you ever thought about, you know, Jesus Christ is waiting to return, and it's all about our responsibility to help his return come? You know, we sometimes say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Well, what are you doing to help him to come back? And he said, I won't return until everybody has had the opportunity to hear the word. And the scripture tells us that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Can God come on you as a laborer? You see, the more resources, talents, and understanding we have, the more we are responsible to use them effectively. God will not hold us responsible for gifts that he has not given us. All of us have enough gifts and duty to keep us busy until Jesus come back again. There's not one person who don't have something, a gift, a talent, some resources. You know, and usually you might think you don't have much, but there's always somebody that has less than you. And he's not asking you to give what you don't have. You know, there was a story in the Bible when a lady gave a penny. And it was, you know, all that she had. So, you know, everybody have something to give. The unfaithful master, the unfaithful servants in this parable, mismanaging the master's resources to satisfy his own greed. And Jesus warned that judgment is certain for all of us. It is. And he wants you to know, everyone to whom much is given of him will be required. And from him to all he entrusted much, there will be demand of the more. Check yourself out. Evaluate yourself. You see, it is easy to assume that only wealthy people have been given much. But in truth, we all have been given much. We have been granted the abundant grace of God, the word of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Each of us should use whatever gift we have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. Everyone has been given, and we will not be afforded the privilege to come up with any excuse that will hold up as true. Come on now. You know, they say we'll be able to talk to Jesus or look upon Jesus and say, you ain't going to have no excuse. If you don't do it down here, you can't make an excuse for it when you get it up there. The time is now. Jesus is coming back. No one knows the time or the hour. Let's get it right. We should also not assume that the less we have, or the less we know about God and his gifts, the less we have to do. You know, I've had people that told me that I don't want to pray. This is a true story. I don't want to pray for patience. you know, because I'm scared I'm going to get to be patient. Some people believe they're not ready to join a fellowship because they're not ready to stop the things that they're doing. Some people are not ready because they say it'll take away all of their fun. But, baby, the rewards is unbelievable. Do the math. You see, as evidence in Jesus' parable, we are held responsible to know our master's will. God has plainly showed us what is required. God gives us resources such as finances, times, talents. You know, some people know how to cook, musical ability, spiritual gifts such as encouragement, a teaching. We should ask God for wisdom on how to use those resources that he has allowed us to have and how to commit ourselves to spending them according to his will. So that he may be glorified. Everything and everybody God made, he made it for his glory. It is our job to glorify God in our doing. And the good thing about it, an amazing thing about it, God has already given us everything that we will need to give him glory, and we take what he's given us to give him glory and we use it for ourselves, or we set on it, or we lock it up, or we do everything else with it. God has given it. God has given it. You see, in regards to spiritual gifts, Paul said we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesize according to your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to do encouragement, then give encouragement. If it is in giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is simple responsibilities of stewardship. And I'm sure most of us have one or more than one of all of these. Just do it. We have been given much, and God desires us to use what he has given us to further his kingdom and the plan and to proclaim his glory. And as I close, I want you to know that this is what we was created to do. You could take and throw everything else out the window and you can make it. But you got to realize this is what we were created to do. Then Jesus said to his disciple, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take their cross and follow me. For whosoever wants to save their lives will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. For the Son of Man will reward person according to what they have done. We have to remember that we are living sacrifice. Given the things God has given to us in service to God and others. And in that, we will actually find life. God, the giver of all things, he gives to us everything we need to fulfill his will. And remember this as I close tonight. Freely you have received. Freely you have received all that God has given you. And don't think, you know, you're self-made. Don't think you got it on your own. Because first of all, if you don't give your breath to go to work and get it, you still ain't got it. See, the whole 360 is back to God. And again, I say freely, you have received. Freely God has given you. And if, you know, when you work at a job and you and 50 other people make the same amount of money, but yet you manage your money different, that is called wisdom. And the Bible teaches that wisdom only comes from God. So here we go again. What you have, you know, is predicated on what God has given you. And he has given it to you freely. So I say, freely you have received. And now is your responsibility to freely give. And that's the story and a lesson for tonight. You know, God is a good God. He's a merciful God. He's an everlasting God. And God has desired for us to be able to receive the best, but we be out of position plenty times from receiving the best that God has for us. I don't know why. Because we're human and we have flesh. And as the servant in the parable, he thought he still had time. We are not afforded the privilege to know the time, the day, or the hour. And we don't know how much time we ourselves have left in this life. But we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And as I said earlier, at that seat it won't be determined in salvation. But it's going to be determined in your reward. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, and I don't care if I don't have a reward, as long as I get there. But Jesus is looking for faithful servants. And if he wasn't, he wouldn't have had inspired it and said it in the Bible. Because if you got your Bible, that's in red, white, and writing. That's Jesus speaking. So, we all have to do our part. Some people have said that the whole world is a stage and everyone is playing a part. The only thing you can ask yourself is, are you playing your part well? And if you are, then when you get to the judgment seat, Jesus will say, thy faithful servant, well done. And that's our lesson for tonight. Sorry for the interruptions, but God saw us through. And I would like to ask if anybody would like to make a comment, but everybody that pressed your one button, of course, your phone is still lit up, so I don't know if you want to speak or you only pressed it because I, you know, asked the question. But those who didn't press the one button, if you would like to make a comment, you can press the one button on your phone right now and I can open your mic. If anybody would like a prayer request, what I'm going to do, because I can't tell if someone want to ask a question, I'm going to start with everybody, and when I say your mic is open, just say no, and I'll close it, okay? So the first call is 504-237. Your mic is open at this time.
Thank you. Nice listening to you, Diane. Thank you.
Thank Hello. You so much. And who's the caller?
Sandra.
God bless you, Sandra. And thank
God
you for calling in tonight. The next call is 225-614-14. The other call is 111111. Your mic is open if you want to say anything. If you don't, just say no. I have another caller, 504-430-48. If you'd like to say anything, your mic is open.
Yes, Di. I just want to say thank you again. The devil is so mad tonight because he was okay as long as you was talking about those that much is given, much is required. But when you broke it down to the Christian who was going to church every day and didn't stop and invite his neighbor, when you started doing that, the devil say, you're no longer teaching, you're meddling. So I'm going to fix you. He started messing with your voice. But don't we serve an awesome God? Because less than 5 minutes later, your voice was as strong as ever, and we could hear everything you had to say. So I just want to thank you again. I encourage you. I pray that God keep you strong and that you continue teaching us and telling us to study his word. Again, thank you, Sister Di.
And I thank you so much, Sister Joyce Brown. And I love you. And thank you for the comments. The next call is 985-860. Your mic is open. If you don't want to say anything, it's fine. Just say no. The next caller, 228-09380. Your mic is open. Well, that's everybody who mic was open. And if anybody else would like to say anything at this time, they could press the one button on their phone. And if, I have a caller. Call a 504-251. I think you just pressed the button. Your mic is open.
Hi, it's Diane. This is Troy.
Okay. Glad you're on the line. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. I didn't know if you could or if you couldn't. I was calling to say I want to thank you again for doing the Bible study. We've been listening every week. Even though you might not see my telephone number come up, sometimes I listen on a computer. Sometimes I'm on three-way with Monica. But I want to say thank you again, and I would like to say that I hope you feel better. And I want to ask that everyone that's listening to keep our family near and far, all uplifted in prayer. That's why I pushed the one.
Thank you so much, Troy. That call is coming from one of the family members that's four. But I think that she calls in her and her sister and their children listen together every Wednesday night. You know, that's a blessing. And I thank God that he gave me the opportunity to be able to have a forum where that can happen. I really thank him. And I don't take this opportunity light. And I pray that God continue to use me and allow us to be together. Anyone else would like to make a comment, a question or a concern? It's 9:34. And there was a record I played on last week. I wanted to play it on this weekend, but the machine is not working for me to play that particular record. So to Mr. Art, we're going to have your record that was played at the beginning of last week. We're going to play it at the end of the program next week. And I got to, you know, people really like your song, and I love it. I know it by heart now. But it is now 9:35, and I want to lead us out in prayer. Is there anyone out there would like to pray?